It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on this second day of November 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we keep the chat room tucked away. The Mary's wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is in play during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and all time zones in between and the great globe around. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hi, I'm Bob. It is More In Monday, and I'm sure we're not going to have any problems fulfilling the content requirement for that. Oh, hell no. No. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude because this is listener-supported radio. It is not radio driven by pitches to get you to go and buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold, buy it high, and sell it cheap because you're a sucker buying stuff that you heard about on the radio. No. In point of fact, it's all about the... It's all about the community. It's all about the conversation here. Mm-hmm. And so, consequently, thanks go out over the course of the weekend. Thanks go out for yesterday and this morning to our first and second day of the month subscribers. Mm-hmm. So that means thanks in particular to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you to Rocco. Thank you very kindly to Joseph. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you to Tom. Thank you, and to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thanks to Bob at Home Dirts. Thank you to Shorty in L.A. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program. And, of course, the first broadcast day of a new month means that, Bruce's Memorial Challenge is on the table to get us started. And for that, thanks go out to our buddy Gary, Labor Man, to our pal Ralps, and to Chris in Germany. Thank you very kindly, Chris, stepping into the breach on that one. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. So that means that there is $225 on the table, and that in turn means that if we've got $225 out there during the program or in the overnight crew, then your $225 will be doubled by $225, and we'll be off and running for the month of November. So, Bruce's Memorial Challenge, and my God, Bruce would be vibrating like a taut bowstring about now. He would. He really, really would. Thanks to Gary again, and thanks to Ralph's, and thanks to Chris for Bruce's Memorial Challenge. If he wasn't so busy being gone, he'd be really tickled to know that he was being remembered in this way. So, more in Monday, right? Yeah. Thank you very kindly, by the way, to Randy Radar, letting me know that we are actually hot on all five streams. So that's cool. And a program note, just a little reminder, I will be subbing for Malloy tomorrow for his program. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, let's see. Oh, happy birthday wishes. Happy birthday wishes going out to our pal Joey. See what I did there, pal Joey? Yeah, yeah. Right. Happy birthday, Joey and Giraffe. I don't know if they share the same birthday or not, but we'll pretend that they do. So happy birthday, very happy many returns, Joey and Giraffe. Bob! I watched a lot of television this weekend, and something Bob said last week on the show really hit home. Bob mentioned the song by Bill Withers, Lovely Day, one of my all-time favorites, but he could not remember who was doing the advertisement. In fact, it was not until Flavio sent him an email that we figured out who or what the commercial was representing. I then thought to myself, how many commercials are there that leave you humming a tune, but you don't remember who the sponsor is? Having taken an advertising class in my college years, the professor instilled in the class that no matter how clever the advertising, your target audience needs to have the brand name of the company branded in their mind, or there's no point. So I cannot help but ask, what is the point of some of these commercials when the person does not even remember what was being advertised? Yeah, but you got to understand, Joey, I'm a crank. Whenever I hear a song that I absolutely love, and it's been picked up by some godforsaken corporation to help hawk their product, I try really hard to not remember who what it was they were hawking for specifically the reason that you just mentioned. So that's just because I'm cussed. We are one day away from the big day tomorrow, but from what I've gleaned from making nearly 300 phone calls to people in PA, Ohio, and Georgia over the last two weekends, voting day's already come and gone. I thought to myself, what was the point of all these phone calls? Because I'm very pleased to announce that nearly everybody that I spoke to had already voted. I was amazed considering just 4 years ago when I only made 100 calls for Hillary and all I did was try to sell people on going out to vote as very few people that I spoke with had early voted or were even interested in voting at all. I was truly shocked in a very positive way after making calls for Joe Biden and John Ossoff. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, Joey dialed his ass off. Wait, okay, that's quality. Yeah. All right, Giraffe, dial it back a little bit. As far as advertising is concerned, Donald Trump has been advertising for the last 4 years, has been doing very little else in the time period. I think it's safe to say no clear-minded thinking person buying his bullshit this time around. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says, speaking of commercials, Donald Trump is just like that used car salesman, Joey Zuzu, who just stood there and lied to us in the 80s. Yes, Trump's approval rating has never reached 50%, and he just keeps trying to sell the sizzle that neither he nor his steaks ever had. His airlines crashed, and so will his presidency later this week. About halfway, that's, you know, it's rare these days that Giraffe is not at least two cowbells per. About halfway through the calls, I almost quit because I felt like I was preaching to the choir when I reached 83-year-old, an 83-years-young woman by the name of Ellie from PA. And she was crying because she didn't receive her ballot. Billable Rick had alerted me that a company out of Cleveland responsible for printing ballots in Beaver and Butler counties in Pennsylvania was flying a Trump flag and not getting the ballots out slated for those two Democratic strongholds. Well, I assured Ellie that she's going to the polls tomorrow, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, if there's no other alternative for her. I've contacted both Beaver and Butler counties and let them know that Joey and Giraffe will be on call for a free ride to the polls tomorrow for anybody in need of transportation. I just told Ellie to stay in touch, and If she needs a ride, we'll be there, and all she has to remember is the secret password. And the password is, fuck Trump! So there will be no Joey's Journal tomorrow, the third day of November, but this has been Joey's Journal for today, Monday, November 2nd, with Giraffery advertising the password. The password is, fuck Trump! Yes. And damn if that isn't just patriotic. Joey and Giraffery walking the walk, talking the talk, and driving the drive. Yes, indeed. Yes, I agree, Billable Rick. Great post by Giraffery and Joey today. Giraffery gets one for Joey dialed his ass off. Joey gets a cowbell for volunteering to be an amateur Uber driver, ferrying voters to the polls in Beaver and Butler counties in Pennsylvania due to the failure of that loathsome maggot, redundant Ohio printing company to send ballots to those voters. What a rotten, filthy little trick. Jesus, those people. Yeah. Oh, and thank you. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy, jumping in. That's 220 to go instead of, yep, so 220 on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. What's that? Steve in New York says, I know you aren't the religious type. I always have to open them that look like that. However, in honor of All Souls Day today, I would like to remember all those who have gone before us, especially the 1,203,958 fellow human beings on this planet who have died because of COVID-19. Well, one need not be particularly religious to take account of and take a moment of silence for victims of homicide, because that's what they are, especially in the United States, victims of homicide. The funny thing is, we know who the killer is, and we can't do a damn thing about it. I mean, Dr. McCoy can't even inject a sedative into whoever's being possessed. No. You know, all things have their limits, and we have found the limit to the otherwise almost universal Anglo-American jurisprudential notion of the right of self-defense. We found where it doesn't apply. Rusty says, Mama's hands. I think that probably has something to do with the song. Kyle getting started early this evening, too. Early Moran Monday nomination for my stepfather and mother. Oh, dear. Family stuff. My stepfather said we shouldn't vote for Democrats because they're all socialists and will make you pay for government programs, apparently completely unaware of how taxes or the government work. My mother says we should vote for Trump because of the stock market. Trump increasing access to health care. She actually said this part out loud. And my favorite, that if Biden gets elected, he will shut the whole country down, pay everyone a lot of money to never work again, and raise the price of groceries so much no one will be able to eat again. Biden will win, says Kyle. Biden will win, but how do we fix this kind of insanity? And I'd just like to say, Kyle, that I'm proud of you for referring to it as insanity. Because family matters. It does. The election will end. And eventually, well, the nature of life in this universe will take care of all the ills we presently suffer. But family matters. And I'm proud of you, Kyle, for only referring to that as Yeah, insanity. And happy Dios de los Muertos to you as well, Randy, in PA. Who says, here's hoping we're not all muertos by the end of this election. I don't think it's going to go on that long. But God knows if anybody out there is vibrating like a too tight bowstring, it's the maggots. They had themselves another maggot parade over the weekend. Snarling traffic and making a mess of things here in the greater two-county area that I frequent. But I got to thinking about them, and of course, by then, we all saw, I trust you saw, the vicious and criminal activity that took place in Texas, where the caravan of maggots attacked a Biden bus. They forced three Biden events in Texas to be canceled, and all we can get is that the FBI is investigating. But yeah, they literally surrounded, and of course they were carrying displaying firearms, and they forced that that Biden bus not to go to its appointed scheduled events, and then they did it in New Jersey. On Sunday. And the bottom line is, if it's being done in two little counties of West Virginia, and it's being done in New Jersey, and it's being done in Texas, and, well, there's one thing that is certain, and that is that these are not spontaneous, organically arising events. In other words, these are coordinated activities, and to the extent that they violate various and sundry traffic codes, they are coordinated crimes. They are the product of a, come on, conspiracy. The real kind, not the monkey jellyfish hybrids from the wet markets of old Kowloon Alex Jones kind. And so since it is a criminal conspiracy, we have to ask the question, why? And I know it's a little bit sketchy trying to sort out the motivations on a general basis. Trying to sort out the motivations of your average garden variety everyday maggot. But in this case, if you begin principle or prospect or if you begin there, then you understand that this is being directed from the highest levels of the Trump campaign and the maggot White House. And so what's the electoral advantage of having a bunch of people running around on the roads on a weekend? I mean, two of these were organized in Fayette and Raleigh counties of West Virginia. 600 cars in length, okay? 600 vehicles in length in just these two little West Virginia counties. And they were all over the place. They ran down US 60, I guess all the way into Greenbrier County, and then came up the interstate into into Raleigh County. They came through Fayetteville, and they were a menace on the road the entire time because none of them was paying attention to their driving. They were all paying attention to their hooting and their honking and their gun waving and making sure their flags was a flying, their Trump flags. And some of them were flying those desecrated American flags done in monochrome with one blue line. Mm-hmm. That's I hate to break it to the maggots, but that's flag desecration. And I'm so old, I can remember when Republicans actually cared about that. Yeah, really. But why? Why? What's the point? Is it the conspicuous consumption of fuel because climate change is a liberal hoax? Well, maybe. I mean, they all believe that. Is it? No. It was the presence of firearms that clued me. And what happened in Texas with the Biden bus. And the fact that Nitwit Nero then stood behind a microphone and brayed and grunted and hooted and growled and barked about how happy that made him and how funny it was, how funny voter intimidation is to him. That's when I figured out what was going on. Mm-hmm. This was a dry run. I know it sounds maybe just a little bit Alex Jonesy. But it was, this is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have been directed where to go to seek shelter, blah, 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 blah. This is that. Their network works. Their call-outs work. And so if COVID Caligula decides that he wants to call his gun humpers into the streets, they know that their system is fully functional and that in a short amount of time, using little more than Facebook, they can organize convoys to get out onto the road and, among other things, to make it difficult or impossible for voters to get to the polls tomorrow. If it extends past tomorrow, then it will be for the purpose of calling them out, the maggots, when it comes time for the maggots to try to make sure that the vote count is shut down. Because make no mistake, they have no interest in democracy. And I can halfway understand that because, frankly, this country has never been particularly good at democracy. As I have said on numerous occasions, where the United States is concerned, democracy is far more aspirational than operational. But the thing is, the maggots aren't even interested in having a republic. At least not in the sense that we understand them to exist or to operate. They are authoritarians. They are worshipers of their god emperor. And they want only to see him remain in power. And if that requires tearing the Constitution of the United States into itsy bitsy teeny weeny parchment pieces and setting it all ablaze, they will most happily do so. Because given the choice, as I have said before, given the choice between decency or Donald Trump, the maggots will declare, fuck decency. We want our God Emperor every time. I was talking with Ferg earlier today, I said, you know, he said, you know, Dad, this strikes me as a contest between Mr. Rogers and Gary Busey. I said, well, I get the Mr. Rogers part. I'm okay with that. I would be happy to have Mr. Rogers be president. Intelligent, decent, caring, empathetic, sympathetic, centered on the well-being of others and not himself. And he said, yeah, me too. And I said, but I don't agree with your Gary Busey analogy. I said, this is more like the difference between Mr. Rogers and Charlie Manson. And Perk said, no, Dad, Charlie Manson was nuts, but he was intelligent. This is a choice between Mr. Rogers and Gary Busey, he asserted again. Because Gary Busey just does crazy shit that may not even necessarily be good for Gary Busey, but he thinks it is. And I thought, well, my God. I think you've got it. And so here we are. The night before an election, the afternoon before an election, or in some cases, hi, Angry Architect, hi, Robert in Australia, hi, John, the day of the election. Maybe our Australian friends or our friends in Vietnam or Taiwan or Japan could just tell us who won and save us all a bunch of angst. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? I'm sure if it did, John Fox would have long ago sent me the lottery numbers. But we're here. And I've thought about it all day long. I thought about it all weekend long. It is disturbing. It is, and meant to be, by them, frightening. They want us scared. And if ever there was a time for us to all starch up and say, fear is the mind killer, if there was ever a time for us to repeat the litany against fear, this is it. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. It's handy. It's handy to just have memorized. But God, just looking back, how true have some of the things we've realized been? For over a year, No matter how weird yesterday was, today has been weirder still. And no matter how today weird today has been, tomorrow has been even more so. I don't think that ends tomorrow. But that means we're in for some serious weird in the next 24 to 36 hours. The south side of Chicago, and no, this is not the beginning of a Jim Croce song. There's a place on the south side of Chicago called McCormick Place. Well, for some reason or another, a whole bunch, a convoy from the Illinois National Guard has shown up at McCormick Place in the south side of Chicago. Alex Horton over at the Washington Post reported, Illinois Guard won't provide any details on this movement, even though a lack of clarity is confusing and unnerving for residents. Strange indeed. And the Army Times reports that National Guard troops were activated today, quote, including 1,000 troops in Massachusetts, 300 in Arizona, and an undisclosed number in Oregon and Illinois. Sounds to me like somebody's planning to stage a coup. The Army Times report says the missions range from assisting with cyber defense, working the polls, and standing by in case of post-election civil unrest. The Massachusetts and Oregon troops will be on standby in case of civil unrest, and the Arizona forces will be on standby for rapid deployment anywhere in the western portion of the nation if requested by any governor. National Guard officials in Illinois were not forthcoming about the roles their newly activated troops would play. Back in September, Julius Geiser said, look, it's called insurrection. We just send them in and we do it very easy. That's another thing we're seeing across the country this evening and over the past weekend. People who live in hurricane country know what this looks like. Whether you're along the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic seaboard of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland. When the hurricane's coming and you know it's coming for you, there's a window of opportunity when intelligent people get out the plywood that they keep stored away, and they put it in. They put it in place over their windows to keep all their window glass from being blown out and sending little razor blade sharp shards flying through the house when the storm comes. Well, that's what's happening in a number of American cities right now. Downtown storefronts are being boarded up because people fear violence. Now, at the tender age of 57, nearer to 58 than 56, presidential elections have been going on every 4 years of my life, starting in 1964. And I dare say that within the span of my life, but also within the span of yours, and I care not how old you are, you have never seen anything like this before in your life. You have never seen storefronts boarded up like some third world banana republic in anticipation of electoral violence. And let's be clear. Based on the information that we have learned from places like Minneapolis, while there will be a lot of talk and no small amount of hooting and grunting and croaking and et cetera by the maggots, Antifa is not going to be out there tomorrow busting windows for the fuck all of it. And neither, it goes without saying, will Black Lives Matter. The people who break glass are the philosophical kin of the same people who broke glass. Oh, let's see. Some 87 years ago on a different continent. They will be the fascist right. They will be the Nazi and Nazi sympathizing right. They will be the white nationalist right. They will be the white supremacist right. But you can bet your ass that these National Guard troops are not being told that. You can bet to the extent that they're standing by in case of violence, they're being told that it'll be perpetrated by Antifa and Black Lives Matter and generically the left. It's the damnedest thing. It is just the damnedest thing. I mean, am I wrong? Is there anyone, and there are people in this community older than me, have you ever seen anything like this? And if the answer is no, then why now? Why this? And the answer is because for the first time in the history of the United States, we have a guy who wants to be a dictator for life occupying the White House. It grieves me terribly when I think about it, because I've done a considerable amount of work in Washington, D.C. over the years, especially since, about June of 2012. And I've spent some happy time there in Lafayette Square. Hell, happy, unhappy, patriotic, whatever you want to call it. Mike Malloy and a hell of a lot of other people were arrested there. We had busloads of arrests for Appalachia Rising in front of the White House there at Lafayette Square. And it's all going to be blocked off by an unscalable fence. Not just the White House grounds, but the Ellipse and Lafayette Square as well. It is the ultimate separation of the American people from their house. Again, walling off the White House and the grounds around it, perhaps in emulation of the vast and thick brick walls of the Kremlin? Brother Deacon Asa says, let me distill it further, Bob. These Trump parades, they're all a dry run for the upcoming coup. Elbert in Rhode Island says, Bob, I voted Democratic by mail. Trump needs to have an outdoor rally in Barrow, Alaska. It's about 26 degrees Fahrenheit there. I'm curious about how many people would be there. Oh, they'd show up. Oh, they'd show up. Because the maggots will go anywhere that he tells them to go. I mean, on the one hand, it is an amazing display of the willingness of people to obey an authoritarian's orders. But the other thing that we have on this Moran Monday is the fact that some scientists got together and, you know, using science, well, I'm sure they didn't know they were doing this. But they proved me and us in this community right again. Because, what it boils down to is that going to a Trump rally, or not going to, but holding a Trump rally, they're all super spreader events. They are a significant means of transmission of COVID-19. The scientists from Stanford University, bunch of liberals, commies, pointy-headed, ivory-headed, ivory-tower-headed, eggy intellectualisms. Stanford researchers examined 18 Trump rallies that were held between June the 20th and September the 22nd, and then they looked at the COVID data for the week following. Those 18 Trump rallies generated more than 30,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Out of those 30,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, there were more than 700 deaths. Now, to be fair, the deaths didn't necessarily occur among the maggots. That's one of the things that I've pointed out over the months, is that we see, you know, because every now and then, well, just let them get it. And then the counterpoint to that is always, yeah, but they're not necessarily going to be the ones who die. They're going to take it somewhere. And being the bioterrorists that the maggots are, following their bioterrorist president, they're going to kill someone else. And probably one of the most telling aspects of this analysis is that they looked at, as I said, 18 maggot rallies, but only three of them were indoors. So much for being outdoors being a great way to avoid getting the Rona. No, when you're packed in there, butthole to belly button, and LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging all over each other and grunting and hooting about how I love Donald Trump, he's the best president we ever had. It will spread the virus. And this is real science. This isn't just a bunch of guys saying, hey, I hate Donald Trump. Let's blame him for spreading the disease. They took the rallies and calculated the counties, or you know, listed the counties where the rallies were had, and then they compared them with other counties similar that had had a similar rate of increase of COVID-19 before the rallies. And that's how they reached the 30,000 confirmed cases number that they found. B. Douglas Bernheim, chairman of Stanford's economics department, a lead author of the paper, said the communities in which Trump rallies took place paid a high price in terms of disease and death. And they pointed out that the science behind avoiding the transmission of COVID-19 is real and is accurate. That large group gatherings do run a massive risk of spreading the disease, quote, particularly when the degree of compliance with guidelines concerning the use of masks and social distancing is low. Well, this, of course, led a little maggot spokes creep for the Trump campaign by the name of Courtney Perea to say,
Americans have the right to gather under the First Amendment to hear from the President of the United States, MAGA. We take strong precautions for our campaign events, requiring every attendee to have their temperature checked, providing masks they're instructed to wear, and ensuring access to plenty of hand sanitizer. We also have signs at our events instructing attendees to wear their masks.
You know what's funny? MAGOT campaign spokes creep Courtney Perea did not mention the fact that,
and we also have them all sign releases saying that if they die, or if they get the Rona, or if they go home and they give it to somebody else and kill them, that they promise never, ever, ever, ever to sue the Trump campaign. Because MAGA.
Yeah, she didn't mention that part.
To gather under the First Amendment.
Courtney, dear, dear Courtney, the First Amendment is not an isolation unit where you stop the spread, that will stop the spread of disease. But once again, if you are a member of this community, if you listen to this program, you are so far out in front of the curve that even the scientists have to catch up with you. We've known they're bioterrorists. We've known they are disease spreaders. And hey, here's proof. A spokesperson for the Biden campaign said, the worst part is that this doesn't even capture Trump's many super spreader events on White House grounds or the last 5 weeks of events across the country. How many more lives have been upended in that time? How many more empty seats are there at kitchen tables across America because of Donald Trump's ego? And so here we are. This past Friday, we had 99,321 new daily cases. The seven-day average of new cases rose to 78,738. Yeah. And meanwhile, at the at a recent maggot rally, they chanted, "Fire Fauci, fire Fauci, fire Fauci," to which viral Vespasian replied,
"Let me wait till after the election, okay?"
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about you, but creepy as hell. Lou with a note. Okay, but then the question is, why did we elect this guy? I think it's the outsourcing of jobs to China and so forth, etc. Well, maybe. But he outsourced jobs to China, Lou. All of his tacky, shitty neckties are made by little slave laborers in China. You know, some 11-year-old little girl chained to a table in Guangdong Free Trade Province. I think that's too facile. Why Donald Trump is president of the United States of America is, it's an onion, because it has many layers. Donald Trump is president of the United States of America, first and foremost, given the fact that he did not win the popular vote, that in fact he lost the popular vote by more than 3 million votes. He's president because we, over the course of the years, centuries, really, two of them, have never gotten around to fixing the entirely, totally racist anachronism mechanism we use for selecting a president, the Electoral College. We just haven't. Now, if you assume, for the sake of argument, that because white supremacy was the stated policy of the government of the United States of America, then you can kind of give a pass to everything from 1787 to 1865. But again, as we discussed on Friday, or was it Thursday? Last week. Even that hateful, racist slave owner and genocidal maniac against the indigenous people of this hemisphere, Andrew Jackson, was saying the Electoral College has to go. And you know, that's before Texas is part of the Union. That's before California enters the Union. At that point in time, we were just barely across the Mississippi River. And Andrew Jackson realized there was a problem with it. The larger problem occurs from 1865 onward. Because in 1865, you get the Civil War amendments to the Constitution. And I don't know what the answer to this is. It would be well worth the research to find out. But we got rid of slavery and involuntary servitude, except in cases of imprisonment for conviction of a crime, via the 13th Amendment, and we enshrined the idea of both procedural and substantive due process with the 14th Amendment, and yet somehow or another, they decided to just leave the Electoral College alone. Maybe because up until that moment, it hadn't, with the exception of the election between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, been much of a problem. They thought they had solved the problem with the 12th Amendment. Yeah, but they didn't. They so didn't. And so the answer to why is Donald Trump the president of the United States is first and foremost answered by simply replying, because we left a racist, white supremacist anachronism in place for far, far longer than we ever should have. And that's an absolute fact. As is the fact that the Electoral College is rooted in racism. Most of the things that have gone on to bedevil us in this country down through the centuries have their origins in the fact that the slave owners were bowed and scraped to in order to get their signatures ratifying and their votes ratifying the Constitution of the United States. And you know what? Even a vaunted originalist like Amy Toney's Parrot would have a hard time refuting that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the simplest answer, Lou, to why did we elect this guy? We didn't. We didn't. We just did not. And as Kyle points out, the whole traffic business is rife with irony. The people complaining about how other people shouldn't stop or mess with the flow of traffic to make political points are stopping and messing with the flow of traffic to make political points. And the orange asshole continues to show that he isn't a president, but the leader of a terrorist group, and these fuckers want a shooting war. He's planning a coup. He knows he's going to lose. He declares insurrection, martial law, and then what? Well, Kyle, I hope you're wrong. Kyle saying tomorrow's going to go very badly for this country. Holy shit. I hope not. I hope we're better than that. I hope we're better than that. And so here at the top of the hour, the end of the first hour of this this first program of the month of November, we have $220 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Ralph's was just checking in to see if it had been met yet. No, Ralph's, unfortunately, it hasn't. But hopefully we'll make some progress on it in the next 2 hours. Because, well, it's absolutely necessary that we do for the continued well-being of this program. Jeremy in Vermont says, no, on the wall, it's more simple than that. He envied the Berlin Wall of concrete and iron bars that separated the once great Nazi Germany, that separated the city of Berlin. Stephen, New York says, I will say this, the wall around the Ellipse in Lafayette Park are reminiscent of a palace grounds, not a presidential residence. Exactly. I'm thinking a bit differently than you, Steve adds. I've not seen suspected violence from an election in my life. So what is different about this election? I know this is facetious. Trump. Antifa and BLM pre-existed Trump. It is Trump who is fomenting it. This is the American version of Kristallnacht. As far as the National Guard, I disagree with you. I think the governors are deploying the National Guard because they anticipate violence because of the Trumpanzees, Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, Patriot Front, Three Percenters, Oath Keepers, etc. Well, I hope we realize that those are the people who do the violence. But I'm not as sanguine as you when it comes, Steve, when it comes to the for-profit media being able to say, aha, those were the ones who were making the violence all along. And I don't know the degree to which various units of the National Guard have been called up under Trump's still-in-existence emergency declaration. Don't forget that that damn thing's still there. Yeah. So let's run over to the stress line and check in with Jude. Hey, Jude, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well.
You sound?
I've developed a new strategy.
Yes.
When I'm going to call in, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I take my gardening boots off and I go in the front yard and I walk in the grass. And I look over to the left, and Mount Rainier is there in her full majesty. And then off to the southwest, the sun's setting with this beautiful array of clouds. And I thought, okay, I'll call in. But I wanted to first preface that piece that you read on respect, kind of midway through the program. Do you remember?
On which, Jude?
There was something that had unfolded respect in it. It was like you were reading a mantra.
Oh, the litany against fear.
Yes, 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 yeah.
Yeah, that comes from that comes from the novel Dune by Frank Herbert, but it's got a lot of truth to it.
It does, and it has a huge sense of grounding. Listening to that, yeah. Is there anything you'd like to talk about?
No. I do this all the time, so if there's something on your mind, I want you to share it with us.
Well, there's a few. First, I'd like to let you in on what's going on with Juanita.
I know the community would like that.
Well, that sweet soul has got angels walking before her, and if anyone, because she has real deep faith. She was befriended 2 days after that fire, or a day after the fire, by a neighbor that she really never knew. And that family took her in and cared for her and gave her room. And at times when she needed to be bathed, the woman bathed her, got her set up with, she's in an assisted living right now, which is an adjustment for her. But every single day that she's gone by that we've spoken, she's taken care of some necessary issue, like she'd lost her wallet and someone had charged money on it, and was able to call the police department, Bob. And remember, because when I was talking to Kevin about this, he said, I hope she got a case number. She even got a case number.
Wow.
And when she, yeah. And in the midst of it, I'd stop her and says, come on, I am like so proud of you. And she goes, you are? And I'd have to remind her, I said, it's only a week since Charles died. It's only 2 weeks since Charles died. And then last week, I says, Juanita, it's only 3 weeks. And she goes, oh, that's right. That's right. But I'm settled for her and I'm available to help her out with, anything I can. But just to be, to know people that can have such tragedy and maintain themselves, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I'm so glad that she's getting the help that she needs. Even 3 weeks out, I imagine to one degree or another, Jude, she's still in shock.
Oh, she is. Yeah. And it'll come across. She doesn't break down so much in tears, but, you know, dialogue is kind of a neat intertwining of thoughts and ideas and emotions and such. And quite a while ago, because, you know, Juanita can be a talker. That's between you and I. But we had that thing for so many years that she had so much to say and so people to be able to share it with. And everything she talked about was right on the mark. But after so many years, and I couldn't get in, and I'll be assertive if I have to be assertive, but conversation's not one of those. Either, you know, people enjoy it and share it freely, and I had to talk to her one night about it as gently as I could, and she got so offended. But after we took the time to talk about it, and then the consequence, you know, phone calls after that, if she gets going too much, and I just maybe go, she goes, oh, what is it? I mean, you know, for someone that's 84 years old, to be able to bend and, you know, mold her life, and it's just, I'm just real grateful, and I'm content right now knowing that she's, you know, where she is. And then the other one I wanted to bring up, when you were discussing about have we ever seen anything like this in our lives? Well, I'm just 72, and I kind of picked that up on an emotional level, of course. And it right away, it triggered things. I thought about Kent State, and I thought about the Watts riots. You know, I was in high school down there during that time. And Sandy Hook came up, and, you know, then I was back at El Paso, you know, because we did a peace stand at that. A month to the day after all those people were killed and all those injured, with this huge array of flowers. And in fact, I even met a man whose wife had been killed. And his hands were all soiled because there were so many flowers, and he wanted to make sure that none of them were, you know, dead, and he wanted to honor her. And he just was, there was nothing to say. You know, it was just nothing to say. I just ended up touching his shoulder. The federal building was McVeigh, you know, and they're not, you know, I know it's a, we are in a huge, huge, dangerous precipice. And I come from the perspective, and, you know, and the women, they're with me. And again, here I go. But there's also a huge other current going on. And I can't define it. I can't say it. But it embraces me, you know, and I live in that reality in just about everything I do. Tomorrow, I thought we were going to be going up to Seattle. And then this morning, the Boots and Flowers from 4 to 8 tomorrow are going to be down at our main annex where the voting is. You get your licenses and everything. And it wasn't until later this afternoon, because there's two lanes, and our state has been well with, you know, mail-in ballots, but people still on that last day, you know, I just want to be present to that. And I didn't know, I hadn't been given kind of an indication where to put the boots, because there's two huge lanes that come in, and there's you know, the containers on either side, and someone takes it and puts it in for you. It's at the very end when all those cards come out. That's where those boots and flowers are going to be placed. And it was so touching, you know, to I mean, the symbolism, you know, of our, you know, our soldiers that, you know, swore to the Constitution, to be in such a constitutional crisis. So I want those that understand that there is an enormous amount going on kind of behind the scenes. And I'm not overly, I don't use hope as something as an anticipation. I use hope when I find myself traveling in the presence of her. And I shared with someone not too long ago, because they were referencing that. I said, you know, when you travel with hope, you're unable to travel if you're faint of heart, because it puts one right on the line at every single moment of things going on. So I have her with me today as I prepare to go and, you know, stand tomorrow. And
now, you, I mean, obviously, there could be nothing more apolitical or non-political, Jude, than the boots and flowers. Do you expect any challenge from anyone?
Oh no, The only time that really happened, that happened several times in Seattle over the North 45th Bridge, different contexts, not the, you know, not the Proud Boys that I saw down in Portland, not them, but, you know, police coming up, or down in El Paso standing at Clinton Custom and Border, especially that second time when my daughter wasn't there. That had a real kind of precarious flow to it, and it was one of the more difficult challenges to be able to stand, you know, breathe, and then, you know, close my eyes and go into a contemplative state. Because I always, I wanted to ask Kevin about that today. It's interesting. I have, you know, sound is always so acute, and, you know, those that die, you know, especially that I had noticed on hospice, and you've heard, it's that last, those last vibrations of voice, you know, before the body, you know, leaves or, you know, whatever happens. And when I'm, like, down in El Paso, there was, it was on a huge freeway, it was like a huge highway that had, and cars were going pretty fast through there. It's interesting to watch and experience the discipline of those kinds of actions. And yet, not too long ago, I ran into a older guy with a, I don't know what the military thing was, but he had a baseball signet on. He comes up, and I'm quietly standing where four officers had been murdered about 10 years ago, and it's a memorial, and it's on a corner, and but I'm removed. And he comes up, and I said, "What are you doing?" And I didn't do anything, and he goes, "Hey," he says, "What are you doing?" And I turn around and look at him, and I said, "I'm standing." And then he gets into this whole great big thing about, you know, when I tried to succinctly reduce it to what it was, gets arrogant and rude with me and ends up walking off. And, you know, I don't know how come I went there.
Well, people, it's kind of like the people who, you know, the beef eater guards at Buckingham Palace. You know, they stand there stock still, or maybe they're the Coldstream guards, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, their claim to fame is they stand there stock still, they don't blink, they don't do nothing. Well, invariably, some American tourist asshole will go up and, you know, try to get them to move or flinch. A person like that cannot comprehend the idea of, and of course, where that impulse comes from, rigorous military discipline. What you're doing, Jude, has always reminded me of coming from a much more, it's like a Zen practice.
Very much.
My own perception of it.
You know?
But it's strange and it's alien, and to an ignorant person, frightening.
Yeah. But see, I don't, when you mentioned about, you know, kind of the consciousness of all these people that are really have in this cult, I mean, it's a real serious, and it's so vast. You know, I know they're out there, but they're also, they've been here. They just haven't aligned, you know, in how they are. And I just hope that, there's moments, you know, that the community can just stop for a second. Like when Steve the other night was breathing and kind of releasing all of that. All that is important, and it probably sounds weird and different, but they're mechanisms that really can help one stay centered and focused. And if there's ever a time that we need to be centered and focused, and yeah, all of you that have anger and all this stuff, yeah, have it. Have it. Just know how to use it and when to use it. You know, because it's
precisely and what much. And what channels to let it travel through.
Exactly. But it takes someone that has been into the center and had all those emotions going through them and figure out what they like or don't like and then hone in the ones that are actually going to be part of the impetus and change. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but that to me is a key thing. And that's kind of the women standing mantra. You know, I have a friend that's a lady friend down by the ocean that goes and stands by a huge, those guns, you know, that are on those platforms.
Yeah.
And she'd just stand there quietly, and she got more honks. She finally couldn't do it. She's older than I am. But she'd open up her eyes because it would startle her because it'd be so quiet. And be some woman hanging out the window flipping her off. I mean, just the strangest, you know, strangest of things. And, well, thank you, Bob.
I have to tell you, you got a note from Darlene. And she said, Darlene was surprised when you gave your age. She said, wow, Jude is so youthful when you look at everything she's doing and her tireless goodness. Her voice is incredibly youthful. I'd place her in her 30s or 40s tops. Rock on, Jude. And you can tell her I wrote that.
Oh, my God. Well, I think I'm standing a little taller. Maybe I am 5'2 now. Well, you know, Darlene, I would very much like to connect with you through email. Because I have your name, and I think it was Jim and Renee that, you know.
Well,
you
I presume that Darlene can shoot me a note, and I'll shoot your note to her, and we'll connect that way. I hesitate just to give out emails over the air because there are ugly, mean, hateful, right-wing, Trump, Republican, and some on our side who are nasty too. And mm-hmm. I would not, and I adore you far too much to have you subjected to the kind of crap that I see.
Mm. Well, there's a good news on the horizon. Talking of, you know, just being protective of women's standing. It's in the process of having a brand new website.
Oh, yay.
And it'll be succinct and to the point. But the only difficulty, it's an advertising firm that I met when Mikey asked us to take the booth to Walla Walla. They're working with me for like practically nothing, putting the whole thing together. But the key is women standing is one word lowercase because there's so many women standing things. And of course, it would have to be a little off the beaten track. So there is a website up now, but it's very old. And that came from a precious place, Bob. That came from Bart Kopp, who, that last year or two and became friends. Well, anyway, his website master was out of, is that what you call it, website? Was outside of, I can't remember where it was. He created that whole website for me for $87.
Wow. I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember his name either.
Yeah, nice, you know, nice, personable young man. You know, real respectful. And okay, dear heart.
Well, I'm so glad you called in, and I wish you well. You don't necessarily need it because things will go well for you. I think you exude that. But nonetheless, only the best thoughts for you tomorrow. And if you see something or experience something worthy of that you think worthy of sharing with the community, well, we'll be here tomorrow evening.
That's right. I could give you maybe a little. I mean, it's nothing huge, but it's. You know, like I told you before, everywhere that the boots go, I just visualize, you know, peace, and there's an interconnectedness. It's like a tapestry that I have now, and the women that do that kind of within our being, how we've all connected and woven things together. So,
right.
Thanks so much for for bearing on and listening, and I think the world of you, Bob.
Well, we all of us here, we just adore you, so it's a mutual admiration society.
Okay, so as Mike always says, keep it lit.
And watch your back, Jude. He says that, too.
Absolutely watch your back. Okay, right. Take care of my best to the family.
All right, thank you. Bye now. And that's the one and only Jude of Women Standing, who will be doing precisely that tomorrow in the Great Northwest. And, well, we will see. Hopefully it'll be a peaceful time for her tomorrow. Got a couple of thank yous to send out. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you very kindly to Sharon. That means that we are down to 170. $170 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you to Sharon, and thank you to Charlene. And hopefully we'll knock that down the rest of the way, you know, between now and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See, I'm gonna... getting darker earlier now. No, it's not. It's getting dark at the same time it got dark before. These arbitrary human constructs. Okay, let's run over, run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's
up?
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Not much. I just wanted to check in, let everybody know I got a computer today.
Oh, hallelujah, Kevin.
Yep. So I hope to be able to do things online fairly soon. There's a little bit of a learning curve, but I've got it here figuratively beside me and trying to go through it and pick up what I can. And
now, were you able to get it loaded with the software you needed for accessibility?
Yeah. I don't have Skype on it. I'm assuming I can download Skype to it, but I haven't gotten that far yet. And like I said, it's just brand new. The first website I went to was HeadOn.live. So I checked into there and made sure I could listen to HeadOn.live through the computer, which I knew I could, but just wanted to double check to be sure. And that works quite well so far. So... So I got it just in time for the election, yay. I'm being sort of sarcastic there, because that's, I don't really want to fill up my computer with election stuff.
No, but I was going to ask, you were able to early vote, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, except I got a little thing in the mail telling me my ballot was, the signature was challenged on it. I forget what, the signature verification. So I've got to email a photocopy of my ID and send it back into them, and I've got to do that by November 12th. And I would have gone down there and done that either today or tomorrow, but I wasn't able to do it today, and then tomorrow I've got a doctor's appointment, so, but it's really, they can tell me all they want that, oh, it was just something that came up, and we periodically do this. They have one Democrat and one Republican looking at the signatures to verify them matched against your signature that's on file. And according to the little person from the Democratic Party that called me back, she said she was one of the verifiers. And she said there's no way they can see whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. But I kind of failed to believe that. I've been doing voting for, I've been blind for 20 years and signed my name for 20 years to elections and never had it come up until this election. And that just seems
odd.
Sort of suspicious to me.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's, wow, you know. And knowing that there's a Republican and a Democrat, yes, we're a red county, but... still, it just makes me wonder. You know, I'm very suspicious about it. Nothing I can do about it, but I do what they... And I asked them, I said, so you're telling me I have to send a photocopy of my ID card back into you or come in person by the 12th to do this. So why can't I just come in and vote in person? If I've got to come in person to do the signature verification.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Well, you can't do that because my ballot has already been, according to them, my ballot's already been counted. But until the signature verification, it can't be posted. So, and I'm just like, yeah, sure. You know, how much would it take to invalidate a ballot and just have the person come in and vote in person? And so, nothing I can do about it, but I do the verification. But I know my ballot won't be counted, you know, till well after the election. And so anyway, that's, I don't know. On the plus side, I really, if the election is counted and the ballots are counted properly, I expect Cory Gardner to lose.
He seems like he's dead in the water. Martha McSally, the same way in Arizona. Remember, we've got to have four wins for a net of three. Because nobody expects Doug Jones to win in Alabama.
Yep. Well, I think the way the early voting is going, it still is a possibility, because you're seeing a tremendous amount of people that have already voted. And I gotta think a good amount of those people are Democrats. So, you know, I can hope anyway.
Well, I got some information for you. Lee in New York just sent me a note and said, your new computer, as long as it's got Windows 10 on it, should have a newly updated Skype version with their latest accessibility features.
I literally just got it a couple hours ago.
Yeah,
so
but I mean, it's already in there. So hopefully that'll make things a little bit easier for you. I remember what a nightmare Skype was for you on your old machine.
Well, it downloaded when I first started using it, and it worked, and something happened to it, and I never could get it to work again. And I, even though I'm blind, I've heard of people that are fully sighted that were having kind of the same issues with Skype. So,
well, every time they put out a version and that works and people get used to it, they immediately have to update it so it won't work again anymore.
Yeah. And I guess that's what happened to mine. But so I'll get into it in the days ahead. And,
all right, Kevin. Well, somebody else is ringing in here. Good to talk to you, and we'll be talking soon, okay?
Okay, Bob.
All right,
we'll
later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
And hey, who have I got? They gave up. Well, that happens. Yeah, if you want to try back on the stress line, that's fine. Skype line's open too. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. There we go. The journey of the computer, Jude writes, Kevin has waited with such patience for this computer. When he lost everything in that apartment building fire, he was one floor up with smoke filling his apartment. When we reconnected about a month afterwards, you'd never know what he had journeyed through. It was something that just happened. And yes, blind. High praise from Jude. Jude noting, he's my buddy. Thanks, Jude. And hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Happy Monday to you.
What's happening, Reggie? How was your weekend, my friend?
Just fine. It's getting colder, but just fine. Just fine. I'd just like to ask you a question, Bob.
Yes?
Where exactly the fuck is law enforcement when you need them? You know, remember what nearly happened to that Biden bus? This past weekend or this past week?
Yeah.
Where exactly was law enforcement when you truly?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing. Even if law enforcement had been there, Reggie, and that's good of you to bring it up, because even if law enforcement had been there, they couldn't have got through. It's kind of like what happened on the Garden State Parkway, you know, New Jersey yesterday. Yeah, the maggots tied up traffic. If an ambulance had needed to get through, you know, say it had a heart attack, the patient in it, you know, got to get to the hospital, that person would have died.
Yeah, and they can't just run them over, even though they want to. I mean, you know, they'll be in trouble.
Right.
I don't think these maggots could survive a bus crash or Mack truck. They would have never done.
Well, I'm hoping they're all bluster. I'm really hoping that they are, you know,
or
10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag, you know, nothing to them.
So you think they're but bags full of hot air, hollow wind and hot air.
But it all depends on how Nitwit Nero behaves. Because if he's standing up there, you know, James Carville, take him for what you think he's worth. James Carville says it's going to be a blowout, and we're going to know the winner of this election by 10 p.m. tomorrow night.
Right. I just hope that there's no voter intimidation or suppress.
Well, at 10 p.m. tomorrow night, if it's a blowout and Geezer Disgustus comes out and says,
obviously it was rigged.
Well, then the maggots, I don't know. Will the maggots get in the street then?
Possibly. Well, you know, there's psychos on this planet, Bob. Unfortunately, I feel they're off the street. Or determine which ones are truly psychos, they can be taken off the street permanently, whether they go to prison or mental institution. Unfortunately, we have to contend, and live with them, Bob. You know, psychos, you know. I always say that we're not robots. We're not controlled by a computer, you know, like Skynet from the Terminator series. But these guys are nuts. They'll do whatever their commander says or programs them to do. I'm talking about the maggots, Trumpers. What do you think, Bob?
It remains to be seen, Reggie. It remains to be seen.
Right. Well, I just hope that there's no voter suppression or intimidation at the polls tomorrow.
Oh, there's going to be hold on. There's going to be some somewhere. I mean, it's already happened.
Yeah.
In Oregon, in Springfield, Oregon.
Do they have weapons? Yeah.
In Springfield, Oregon.
Yeah, Bob.
Armed groups have been seen turning voters away from a ballot drop box. You know, Oregon has by-mail voting. And this report comes out of the Oregonian. Reports to the Election Protection Helpline indicate that voters attempting to deposit their ballots in a drop box at the Lively Park Swim Center were confronted and questioned by groups of armed individuals in military attire blocking their way. Some voters turned away without depositing their ballots.
Were they armed?
Yeah, they were armed. Groups of armed individuals in military attire blocking their way.
Right. Now, had this been the Black Panther Party for self-defense of the late 60s?
Oh, no. If this had been two black dudes in FUBU sweatshirts, it'd be 24/7 on Fox News.
Yeah, they would have been in prison by now. Right.
And all that the superintendent of the state police of Oregon will say is, there was an incident down in Springfield over the weekend.
Yeah. Why can't they say that about these guys? Or why couldn't they say that about these clowns, these ass clowns? Huh? Why couldn't they say that about these ass clowns? And what would it take for them to do their, what would it take for law enforcement to actually do their job? For people to die just simply because they want to vote for voting?
Oh, it's, well,
what,
yeah.
What would it take, Bob? What would it take?
Oh, God.
People sacrificing their lives for voting, for votes? I mean, you know, just simply because they
have
the right.
That's kind of already.
They write the vote.
That's already what? Happened. You know, I mean, Viola Liuzzo.
Yeah.
You know, the Bloody Sunday March. You know.
Yeah.
That's why I said. Most of America has probably never most of America has probably never seen this. The closest we got was the violence of the apartheid Jim Crow South, but it has never it's never been nationwide like this since 1865.
Right. Yeah, I'm afraid. You know, why can't you just keep them off the center stage until election day tomorrow, and then they can kick him out of the White House permanently. Of course, they're going to have to drag him out in case he doesn't want to transition power from himself to Joe Biden.
Why do you think he's hiding behind a wall? Yeah, I know. Well, listen, I imagine it's going to be. I trust you've already voted, right?
Yeah, by mail. Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah, I think by
so,
mail.
I would suggest tomorrow. And
my
you know,
mother and
there's
sister are going out.
There's a pandemic.
Yeah, my mother and sister are going out. And go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was going to say, stay home. That. Stay home. Don't be out in that crazy tomorrow.
Right. Well, my mother and sister are going to go out and vote personally. They'll be wearing their masks. There may be a long line. There may not be, but they're still going out to vote regardless. You know, for Joe Biden, of course. They'll be wearing their mask and all. They'll be careful. They'll be very careful. They want to make sure that their votes, like mine, count. And hopefully they get counted correctly.
Well, and there's always as Brad Friedman would note, there's always the issue of video game voting. So that's in the mix, too. Well, Reggie, stay safe, my friend, and tell your mom and your sis to please be careful out there because, you know, crazy people.
Okay. Have you guys voted? You and your wife and your
son? Oh yeah, we got our mail-in ballots. They were mailed out on the 18th. I think we got them on the 19th, and the following Monday morning, whatever that was, I hand delivered them to the county clerk.
Right. I hope they counted you and yours and your friends correctly and accurately.
I do too.
People know exactly what they're doing.
But make no mistake, Reggie, this state's going to go for Trump, okay? I mean, it is.
Well, I just hope that this election doesn't get stolen again this time, as it did 4 years ago.
Hear, hear.
You know?
Your mouth to God's ear. Reggie, take care, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Like you said, you better hope that this is all hot, big, fat windbags full of hot air, and that's it.
I think so.
And I hope the law enforcement. I hope that the law enforcement will be out center stage, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Well, Reggie, another call coming in. You take care. You take care, my friend. I got to get this next one later now.
Okay.
And that's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. I don't know why the stress line's getting so much work this evening. Note coming in from Jimmy. In the Great Northwest. Shout out to Jude. I'm proud to have her representing our state. Well, that's mighty kind of you, Jimmy. And I know it'll tickle Jude. Matt in San Francisco writes, Trumpansies, I think the majority are cowards. Having said that, it only takes one or two low IQ cult members with high-powered weapons to put the rest of us at risk. Yeah, the ones who talk a big game probably will do nothing. It's the ones who are quiet that you got to watch out for. Truly. Mathematical maniac Lee in New York says Trump will probably not even wait until 7 p.m. tomorrow to declare victory. If North Carolina or Florida is called for Biden and the media ignores or dismisses the challenge to their reporting, the bluster will be barely a sound. Devoutly to be wished. Mark Hamill does final Lincoln Project ad calling out Trump's tyranny, stopping votes from being counted. Damn, says Darlene. I'm so loving how Mark Hamill got this final Lincoln Project spot and has a second life as a speaker for liberal and progressive views. He sees the right side of history. My dirty little secret is that I would love to do voiceover narration, so I wish I had Mark's voice, but in more feminine form. Say, Lauren Bacall's. LOL, dream on Dar. Hey, Dare to Dream, Darlene. Man, that's almost a song title, Dare to Dream, Darlene. Here it is. Let's run it.
The signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Tyranny didn't end with the American Revolution. Not for everyone. Not by a long shot. Nearly 100 years of elected leadership failed to right that wrong, and Americans went to war with ourselves to fix it. Never before had the truth been so clear. Elections have consequences. It was for this reason that Union soldiers, who lived and died by those consequences, were able to vote despite being far from home. This was how absentee voting began. Sent from the bloody battlefields across the nation. Now, more than 150 years later, tyranny is looking for a new foothold. President Trump has called for the election to be decided on, and only on, those ballots that arrive by November 3rd. If he gets his way, many who cast absentee ballots will not have their vote counted. This will deny thousands of troops serving overseas of their most sacred right. Stripping the men and women in our military of the very freedoms they've served and sacrificed to defend. It cannot be allowed to happen. Donald Trump doesn't get to decide the future of America's leadership. The American people do. Make every vote count. And count every vote. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Damn good closing argument. And true. You know, one of the more interesting aspects of that, unmentioned, is that when one swears one's oath and joins the United States military, one gives up a whole bunch of constitutional rights. Aspects of free speech are gone, as are a number of the civil rights that we think of in civilian terms, and you immediately fall under something called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Well, the one right that no one serving in the military gives up under the Uniform Code of Military Justice is the right to cast a ballot. The right to vote. But if you recall, some weeks back, we had Nitwit Nero out on the hustings barking and grunting into the microphone about,
they found bags of ballots that had been thrown away in Pennsylvania.
And that was all well and good, except for the fact that the reason those ballots were discarded as spoiled was because of litigation filed by the Trump campaign. Plain and simple. And I don't know who the genius is who is DJing Nitwit Nero's rallies, but oh my God, at his super spreader event in North Carolina today, remember, he postponed it to today because of
high winds,
which was actually not true. It was
high COVID transmission.
Well, when he finally got to North Carolina, Hickory, this was what people heard. Oops, screw up on my part. It was the theme from, and I kid you not, Titanic. One day away from Titanic Tuesday, they played the Titanic theme in North Carolina. Wow. Just wow. And as far as carrying on and shenanigans and other malarkey at the polls, let's go to DuPage County, Illinois, where a pair of Karens were standing in line to go and vote, but they didn't want to wear their mask, even though there was a mask rule in place. And so instead of just putting on their mask and going and voting, they decided to hold up the line. And of course, because they're Karens, you got to understand, they were the victims. Now, the line stretches back 50, 100 feet.
Why don't you go to the back of the line so all these people can vote?
Is this 1990s Jim Crow laws again?
I'm sorry?
Stop. Then stop talking. I have every right to stand here just like you.
Just put on a mask and get it over with.
Yeah, did you catch that? They're told to put on a mask. And they say, is this Jim Crow laws now? No, lady. No, Karen. It's not Jim Crow laws for asking you to put on a mask so that you're not poisoning other people with your viral spewing and spraying. It is simple, common public health law. And you'll notice they didn't get pepper sprayed or tased or shot, and nobody put their knee on her neck. Yeah. Goddamn maggots. Can't live with them, can't send them to the moon. But, on the other hand, down in Florida, oh, I know, Earther. You know who else had a mask-wearing mandate while voting? Himmler. far different story in Clearwater, Florida, where a Joe Biden supporter was attacked by deputies, elbowed in the back as he's held on the ground, repeatedly punched in the head. The woman recording the arrest said the police went from behind him and grabbed his arm, and he didn't know who was after him. And he was saying, I didn't do anything, and the cops proceeded to beat the stomp the living out of him. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. That's fine. Jesus Christ.
Get out of my face, bitch.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
I'm not touching you. Who are you?
Who are you? Thanks, man. Get the fuck out of my face.
Stop it.
And a maggot, a woman, a Karen, comes along and tries to block the woman who's videoing this beatdown, tries to block her view of the cops beating the stuffing out of this unarmed individual. Short sleeve shirt, short pants, flip-flop sandals, looks about as dangerous as, you know, any average stoner on a, right, But there's two big, burly, manly deputies repeatedly driving their elbows into his kidneys and punching him in the head. And when the woman is shooting the video, when she went to a deputy for help because she was being assaulted by a maggot, the deputies told me I deserved it. They're not even trying to be advocates for everybody. Punks. Thugs. Gangsters. Mobsters. Yeah. Wonder what his desperate offense was. Steve from North Carolina writes, Bob, from my following the early voting numbers, I think North Carolina will get called for Biden. Dems have 1.69 million votes, 64.7% turnout. Republican, 1.43 million votes, 64.7% turnout. But the kicker is the unaffiliated 1.37 million votes, 56.1% turnout. We've had about a 62% turnout. We've had about a 62% turnout total. Just from some of the research I did over the weekend, most unaffiliated voters are younger, from a northeastern state, and live in a metro area. So I think most of those will break not Biden. This is just my take on the race right now, but things are looking good into tomorrow. Unaffiliated, younger, did you mean to say those will break for Biden? Because that's what it sounds like. Subject line, the Kincaid, Lee in New York, says 19% of West Virginia's 2016 vote tally has been received so far. Well, we're going to go out and vote in person because we're Trump supporters and we can't get no runner. Even though Friday saw the highest total yet in this state. Eesh. Oh, and a note about Chicago from Shorty in L.A. About Chicago's mayor sending that big, please dare me. It's not the governor, it's Chicago's mayor, Lori Lightfoot, saying in a big way, go ahead, dare me. To those wet behind the ears, arrogant-ass chumps for lunch, leftover racist and Colonel McCormick symbolizers. Okay, Mayor Lightfoot did have to call the governor twice to get this. Or did have to call the governor to get this. Understand, I-55 runs from water to water, from the waters of Louisiana all the way up north to Lake Michigan. And the end of that I-55 is Chicago. That military oath is being finally. If needed, a domestic enemy shall become a quickly metamorphized non-enemy. They will not be asked a single question. They will be given just one command, and whatever that command is, it will be what they were told to say and nothing else. If there is no response to that command, well, if any of those jokers of Donald Trump's are veterans of the U.S. military, there will be no flag-draped coffin, there will be no taps played, no flag folded, no military funeral, and especially no benefits to their families. If any of them do live, seizure and surrender of everything that they've ever earned as a military veteran. And for the other ones there, well, let's just say they'll start squealing on each other. I tried to give you guys a hint when I told Todd not to worry and how Noam Chomsky, who's right, the military will come in just to handle from so-called Mattel toy militia. Just like the post office and National Guard, they live here too, and they're not going anywhere. They're just as much affected by the same things we go through, and they're effective at doing their job. Now, fuck Trump and fuck Colonel McCormick, too. I know that's not his real name, but everybody called it Colonel McCormick's place when I was a kid. My parents talked about how he started the basement shopping in his department store, Carson Pre Scott, and other places in Chicago. He used to own the Chicago Tribune, too. Sister Lightfoot did her job by informing them with the presence of the National Guard right there in a hot spot that used to symbolize the bigotry and racism of white folks, and also the feces-faced Ku Klux Klan. Full disclosure, I missed a whole lot now with having to voice type due to eye issues. Totally worth it, though. Thanks, Shorty. And hey, Reggie, how about the National Guard that are already out there? Believe these words, sir. All governors in the United States and its territories were given full confidence by the highest officer in the National Guard for each state that military members will live out their oath protecting the citizens of every state. You see, shortly after Donald Trump opened his big-ass mouth and started talking boo-boo again, well, our National Guard is the result of a president potty mouth. Yay. Thanks, Shorty. And let's see, we're coming up on the end of the second hour of the program. We got $170 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thanks to Sharon and Charlene and Jeremy jumping in on that. And hopefully we'll get you some camaraderie. And there's $170 more of doubling money. If you'd like to see 10 turn into 20, this is the night to do it. Because Bruce's Memorial Challenge comes but once a month. And thanks to Labor Man, thanks to Chris in Germany, and thanks to Ralphs for making it happen. Thank you so much. Back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Dave in the Blind.
Hey, what's happening, Dave?
Oh, not much. The Blind Network is expanding. Chris is setting up her own blind at her own house, monitoring Karen's. She wanted me to let you know that, but I'm calling to let you know that I was listening to a lady named Santita Jackson on WCPT in Chicago this morning, and they were talking about the Interstate Compact movement and, you know, how they're trying to work that out.
You mean relative to the Electoral College?
Right. And there was a mention of a little hamlet in West Virginia. Beckley was mentioned prominently in that because they said if we had a system like that, every vote would count, including small places like Beckley, West Virginia. And I thought, there has got to be somebody in that studio that listens to the horn.
I like to think so.
So if Santita is listening, good job, you know. But I thought you did a kick out of that.
Ah, it tickles me.
I am preparing some food porn for tomorrow night while I listen to the returns. And while I'm not a praying man, I'm probably going to go out and get a used set of rosary beads just in case, you know.
Well, maybe get a few sets for the boys down at the shop.
Well, there has been some idea of making a living rosary out of some of our clients. We're working on whether or not that can be worked out legally. We're just trying to figure out who to put on the main crucifix at the end of the line there. And I'm thinking the former Catholic boy turned fundamentalist idiot Mike Pence.
Was he raised Catholic?
Yes, he was.
I had no idea.
He had the temerity to lecture the Archbishop of Indianapolis when the Archdiocese was trying to bring in a Syrian family who'd been vetted for 2 years as refugees. They were threatened to cut off the funding, and he told the Archbishop in a smarmy way during a meeting that he thought that the Archbishop ought to pray about it. The last person I would take advice on prayer from is Mike Pence.
Oh, without a doubt. But then again, as far as the Archbishop was concerned, Mike Pencilneck Geek started skipping down the wide and broad road to hell when he became a heretic.
Well, yes, that that is true. I mean, it's not like he was raised a heretic or anything. I could be, you know. But evidently, Bishop Frank in Rome took notice and made the man a cardinal. So, yeah, some good came out of that. And
now that's not
there
that's
is
not
another
the,
pencil man.
That's not the same Archbishop that from D.C. is it? That he made cardinal? Did he make a couple of cardinals?
No. Because you know you got to send those bishops to college, and the College of Cardinals was missing a few seats. So he went to fill some of those, and Archbishop Tobin, now Cardinal Tobin, was named. And I thought, when I heard this, and I heard this is before the announcement, I thought, this guy has the nerve. Having been raised Catholic and knowing what Catholic social teachings say about such things, that this was not going to be a starter with the Archbishop. But, he stayed in the Archdiocese long enough to become a cardinal, so he was the first sitting cardinal in the diocese history. And it's just these guys have no souls. His older brother, Greg, is the maggot misrepresentative of the 6th District of Indiana. I'd like to pluck them all out of office and send them to the fires of hell where they belong. But that's me. But I am going to be feeding my face tomorrow and having all kinds of food porn and thinking of you guys, especially Ty. I'm thinking some smoked brisket, but I don't have a way of doing it. But in spirit, anyway.
Well, I will be. Well, you're making me hungry now.
Oh, sorry. Well, I always do that. I seem to do that regularly now.
But by the way, I have given up on finding my Foley food mill. I'm just going to order a new one. That's all there is to it. But I'm gonna have this Saturday is supposed to be perfect. Clear blue skies all day, 72 degrees, and hopefully I can get my Foley food mill here in time and finally have my dadgum chili.
Well, Bob, you know, make your food while you can and enjoy it al fresco, you know.
Yeah, screw the rosebuds. Gather your chili while you may.
Amen. ooh, chili dip. I got to add that to the list. One last thing. I want to say I came back on after having to leave the program right in the middle of your conversation with Jude, and I wanted to say how much I appreciated her because she's always uplifting. And when I'm down and I hear her, I feel much better. So,
well, again, that will make her feel better.
Well, I hope so. And I will be thinking of her knowing she'll be out there standing and bearing witness tomorrow night. So my thoughts will be with her.
Well, thank you, Dave. You have yourself a good night and give my regards to the boys down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium.
I will, and I'll tell Christine that not to be afraid to call in. You only bite on days that end with Y.
Right, exactly. So. Exactly. All right. Well, you take care.
Right,
you take
bye.
Care, Dave.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Dave in the blind, out in Talibandiana. How did I miss that? That Mike Pencilneck Geek was a heretic from the true church. Go figure. You remember Greg Gianforte? Ran for Congress and won in Montana. And the night before the election, he assaulted and battered a member of the Fourth Estate, a reporter. Apparently, he fosters some sort of a culture that his political director in his campaign for Montana governor has been caught attacking a parked car. Too bad he wasn't chasing a parked car. Never mind. According to the Daily Beast, an incident report filed by the Montana police says that Daniel Duffy, Gianforte's political director and spokesman, bashed a parked car next to his pickup truck on October 26th, repeatedly slamming his truck's door into the other vehicle. The report from the Bozeman Police Department says Duffy opened his car door and struck the side of Vehicle 2 several times, causing visible damage to Vehicle 2. Andre Zollers, a Montana resident whose daughter owns the damaged car, told the Daily Beast that the incident occurred outside a sushi restaurant in Bozeman. Really? That's like sushi in West Virginia. On October 26, Zollers said Duffy's truck was parked over the line separating parking spaces, but her daughter was able to fit into the parking space anyway. When her daughter returned to the car later, however, she discovered that her vehicle had been damaged. Zollers claims Duffy also keyed her daughter's car, although that isn't mentioned in the police report. More than $1,600 worth of damage done during the incident, and still no charges by the cops. And it's a hot race between Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and Greg Gianforte for the governor's office in Montana. And I guess, is this more of that, you know, special kind of justice that Greg Gianforte received previously? Funny how that works. Funny how it's the Biden supporters that get the stuffing beaten out of them in Florida, and how it's a young woman who gets her car vandalized by a highly placed Republican operative in Montana. Huh. Yeah, go figure. And thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy jumped back in and doubled his money, so there is $165 remaining in Bruce's Memorial Challenge for the evening, and about 52 minutes to wipe that out. And back we go to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. This is George from California.
Hey, George.
Hey, I missed most of your show. I was out shopping, but you might have brought this up already, but to paraphrase Lloyd Bridges, you sure picked a heck of a year to give up Mountaineer football.
Yeah, I know.
they're ranked.
Yeah. Where are they now?
I haven't heard lately with where they are.
K-State was 16th, and they just handled them. I didn't watch it. True to my word, I didn't watch it. But
that's almost as hard as giving up cigarettes.
Well, I picked a hell of a year for that too, didn't I?
Well, we'll know tomorrow. If things go well, you'll be fine.
Well, you know what's really weird? It dawned on me today, because today is 7 weeks exactly. And 7 times 7 is, of course, 49. Tomorrow, Election Day, in the 50 states, will be my 50th day without a cigarette. Can the goddess of irony work wonders? Or, I mean, miraculous are her ways.
Well, you're not counting the days and hours. Like, I mean, is it that bad for you? You have it down to
No. It's just that I know that hours. every Monday is another week, and today is 7 weeks, because next week will be 8, and 8's 2 months. But
we're all proud of you, Bob.
Well, I'm
proud of you for that, and
I feel better. I like it. I'm still using the pouches, and if people want to tell me that I'm using training wheels, that's fine. But I figured it out. These things are 2 milligrams a piece. Each cigarette's 10 milligrams of nicotine or more. So the nicotine that I'm getting in a day is roughly the equivalent of one cigarette. but without the smoke, without the tar, without the cyanide, without the arsenic, and without all the other hateful crap that comes with it.
Well, you keep it up, and we'll talk to you after the election and see what happens.
All right. Well, I think we'll be I haven't talked to Sparky about it, but I think we'll be on the front porch tomorrow. So jump in if you feel if the spirit moves you.
Oh, and did you say you were doing Malloy this week?
Just tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
All right.
Thanks, Bob.
See you, George.
Take care.
Bye. And that's George calling from California. Program's just flying by this evening. Re Montana Sushi. Brother Deacon Asa says, wrong. I hear those prairie oysters make for a mean roll. It's always a prairie oyster, mountain oyster. Yeah, I know. I know. And hey, it's Faith. Hey, Faith. I know. I think we're connected. You there, Faith? Got to unmute your mic, Faith. You're muted.
Your mic, Faith.
There we are. How about that?
Very good.
Okay, good. Sorry.
You're muted.
How are ya?
I'm good. Now all we got to do is get the audio that's coming back to me out of all of this.
Okay, good. Well, all right.
So I think maybe if you go to headphones or something like that, it should remedy it.
Okay, is that better?
I haven't heard me in a while, so I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, on a lighter note, did you and Agnes dress up for Halloween?
A little bit. There wasn't really anything to do or anything like that, so not so much. But we had a nice time.
Well, good. Good. I dressed up as a harlequin. We didn't go anywhere.
Wait. Moment of clarification, because I've been caught in this pop culture trap before. Did you dress up as a harlequin or as Harley Quinn?
No, not Harley Quinn. No, a harlequin.
Okay, very good. Yes, with the yeah, diamond patterns.
Version,
and...
but not the weird, creepy, sexual kind, I guess.
Okay, good. Good. the classic European, I guess what? Goes back to the Renaissance, doesn't it, Harlequin?
Yes. So we just hung out and just, you know, tried to have the best time we could and trying to, you know, escape this freak show we all find our reality in nowadays.
Yeah.
And, now all my friends are texting me constantly, Faith, are you nervous? I'm nervous. Yes, I've been nervous for the past 4 years. Yes, I'm definitely nervous.
I've been waiting. People standing in line to vote, and I've been waiting. Yeah, I've been waiting in line. I've been waiting 4 years to vote this bastard out.
Yes, and it took a while for. I mean, most of my friends got it right off the bat, but I do have a lot of friends that really were like, "Oh, he's probably not so bad. Just give him a chance or whatever." And now they're all like, we need to get him out.
Yeah, he's got to go. Time to go.
Yeah, exactly. So over the freak show.
Downright weary of it.
Yeah. So how you guys doing over there?
We're a little antsy. I think there's some anxiety that comes with all of this.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no anxiety that comes with West Virginia's results. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion.
That's really sad.
But here, I mean, even though he's going to win, I think there will be something to be learned in what his margin of victory is.
Right.
If he beats Joe Biden by any significant number less than what he beat Hillary by, it'll mean that even in a place like West Virginia, there are breaches in his defenses.
I agree. And I just think, like, I've looked at all of the polling in all the other states and everything, and it really looks like it's going to be a landslide for Biden as far as right now.
Well, if you can get the votes counted, it should be.
Right. And that's what I'm worried about, is the counting of the votes.
Well, I mean, let me get this right. Where are you?
We're in Colorado now.
Okay.
We've been here for 5 years, but we lived in Chicago for 15 years.
Okay. For some reason or another, I had Arizona on the brain, but no, that's not it. So you can be part of the group of patriots that helped send Cory Gardner into retirement.
Absolutely. And we did that, hopefully. It looks like it.
Well, if Martha McSally, Cory Gardner, if we can get maybe eke out a win in Montana. I mean, yeah. There's all kinds of potential there for the Senate. I know people are thinking, and I'm going to be serious. My nightmare is that the Senate stays Republican and Trump stays president. My best case scenario is that we toss Trump out on his gigantic posterior with a huge margin of victory, and we take more than the 4 Republican Senate seats we need to take. And they're there for the taking. You know, it's right. Just a matter of getting our votes out. I mean, I can't tell you how badly, you know, Cory Gardner, all seats matter. I don't know how did I just say that? but Cory Gardner's not one of those assholes, those maggot assholes who stands up and you know, hoots in front of any open mic or any live TV camera. I mean, there are people I want to see go away. John Cornholio in Texas. Texas would be so much better served by MJ Hager.
Yes.
And
also South Carolina.
Right. And that was next is Precious Lindsay.
Right. Right.
I mean, that line over the weekend, Agnes does not very often get so furious that she turns red in the face.
Yeah, with the woman thing?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I did too. I was right there with her. I was just like, I was raised in a way where my family was like, gender did not matter. You could do whatever you wanted in this country. I never felt like I was less than somebody because I was a girl. And now all of a sudden this hate talk about women is coming up, and I'm like, I have never dealt with this before. This is really, really weird and crazy and kind of freaky deek for me. I don't get it.
I mean, the quote itself, I mean, for this, and forgive me, this is going to sound wrong, but I mean it in only the best possible way. This 65-year-old confirmed bachelor,
right, yeah,
has the nerve to tell women yesterday evening there is a place
for them.
There is a place for women in this country
if they follow traditional values.
If they are believers in traditional families.
Yeah, isn't he gay?
That's what I meant with the confirmed bachelor line, yes.
Exactly.
That's not his lover, that's his longtime companion. No, he's never, you're never, and it's, well, I mean, he's just a sad case. And here's the exact quote, in case anybody's wondering.
Now, I want every young woman to know there's a place for you in America if you are pro-life, if you embrace your religion, and you follow traditional family structure. That you can go anywhere, young lady.
Yeah, well, fuck off, Lindsay.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you get a vigorous cowbell for that, Faith.
I mean, seriously, like... I mean, in what he said about black people, that, you know, you can be a black person here in South Carolina if you like. You just have to be a conservative.
You know, like my colleague Tim Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure there's no LGBTQIA families in South. None of those in South Carolina. There is.
Oh.
I almost called him Lindsey Graham. Sorry. That was the goddess of irony working. Lindsey Graham is the only gay man in South Carolina. That's going to make for kind of a lonely life, isn't it?
Yeah. And like right now he's running for re-election. Like, don't you think he needs some women votes? And some black votes.
Well, it could be that he's been down there on the ancestral family estate of Smolder and Chode for so long that he don't know that the women folk get to vote.
Right? Yeah. He's still living back in 18-something.
Yeah. 65 years old, never been seen in the company of a woman in a casual or social situation, and feels comfortable lecturing women about how they can have a place in society.
Yeah, and so, like, if we don't abide by his rules or whatever, we don't have a place here? Is that what he's saying? Like, to me, that's what it sounds like.
And I just got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Bye, Lindsay. If we could say goodbye to Lindsay tomorrow, that would be tasty frosting on the cake of victory. Oh, Lindsay, go brush your hair, bitch.
Yeah.
God almighty. What makes that come in 2000, almost at the merciful end of 2020, Faith, what makes that emit from somebody's mouth?
I ask Andrew that every freaking day. We ask each other, what the fuck is going on? Like, what the hell is this? Like, I have never witnessed this before.
I mean, I know South Carolina's different. I know they've got conservative values and don't want paved roads and things like that. I understand that. It's just that mean federal government that makes them pave their interstates, because that's federal highway anyway. But is it that backwards? I mean, that's a selling point, telling young, and it wasn't just women, and he was speaking to young women. Now, y'all just go on and drop out of that old college. They're just going to teach you demonic things like that, evolution and whatnot. You don't need none of that. You just go on home and get yourself all nice and pregnant.
Yeah, you need to be in your kitchen and making some food and shit.
Yeah, did you? I mean, and it's and you know, it's him echoing Trump too, though, Faith. I don't know if you noticed this, but it was a week or so ago that Trump used the term suburban housewives.
Yes, I absolutely did see that.
It's almost, I'm not sure if it's better or worse in the original German, you know, Hausfrau.
Yeah, maybe the German sounds a little better, even.
I don't know where we will be 24 hours from now, you know, because about 30 minutes left in the program. 30 minutes from now, or 24 hours from now, I don't know where we're going to be, because I don't think we'll have anything to talk about in the way of returns or anything, but I think we'll be having a Jim Dandy front porch conversation. Sparky just said front porch and back porch will be open tomorrow.
Well, that'll be perfect.
But I have a feeling we'll have lots of stories about voter suppression and maggot maggot misbehavior and the like.
Right.
Oh, wait. Faith, I've been awarded a cowbell by Jeremy in Vermont. Bob, cowbell for Southern conservatives don't want to have paved roads. I'll take it, Jeremy. I'll take them where I can get them.
Well, you know what? That's perfectly fine if that's what they want. But you know what? Don't put, like, other genders down, other races down. You know, like, I mean, like, what Trump has been saying, too, like what you're saying, like, it is, I have never heard people, I guess, just talk right out like that before.
Well, we used to have it. We had checked it for a while, but that's another thing that Trump did, Faith, is he made it okay to talk about that shit out loud.
Right. It's like, did you see the Lincoln Project's The Girl in the Mirror?
Yes.
That, to me, was so powerful. And actually, the first time, because I heard it a few times, I'm like, oh, my God, that is so powerful. And so I actually went to look at it and see, like, the imagery. And when I saw it, I got kind of teary. I was just like, this is just so awful.
Yeah.
And I'm sending this to my sister, and I'm sending the one about the military, the bounties, because my sister's husband is ex-military. And like, he votes for Trump.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. I know they do, but I'm damned if I can figure out why or how. I mean, the guy's a coward.
Yeah, he whines constantly. He whines more than any, like, my cat is a huge whiner. He whines way more than my cat. And my cat's probably the biggest whiner I've ever seen in my entire life. And he's supposed to be a tough guy. He's always bitching about something. He's always whining about something. He doesn't get enough praise about other things. It's just...
Well, he's a spoiled child. You know, I don't know if you caught it, but over the weekend, Barack Obama just burned him to the ground again.
Oh, yes, I did.
What? Perfect. Did someone not come to his birthday party?
Right.
And of course, then again, there's an argument to be made that we have him in the White House because of the sick burn that Obama laid down on him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner all those years ago.
Well, he is just so jealous of Obama because Obama is just so cool. You cannot, I mean, no matter what, I mean, I had disagreed with Obama, you know, a lot, but,
sure.
You know, I love him. But he is just freaking cool. And Trump can never be that. I think he wants to really bad, but he could never be that.
No, and when you hear him attacking Barack Obama, I don't know about you, Faith, but I always remember I always call to mind the fact that he is the son. He is really, really, no kidding, the son of a Klansman.
Right.
And he behaves like it.
Yes, he does. Like, I was in Chicago when Obama was elected. And when he won that night in 2008, everyone was in the streets. Everyone was just elated and just praising and just it was just a huge party. The whole city was on fire, in a good way. And then the next day I was walking throughout the city, and everywhere you looked, they had the flags up already. They're like, congratulations to Chicago's own Barack Obama, the 45th president of the United States. And I will never forget it. It was the best thing I had ever, I guess politically, I've ever witnessed, being there for that. And now this is where we are. Like, it's so sad to me.
Yeah, I get that. But I also think that's neat the way that, you know, Chicago embraced him.
They did, like, totally. Even for a second term, you know, you're not supposed to do it from the White House. He went back to Chicago and did it the way he did the first time.
Yeah. And see, I mean, he wasn't born in Chicago.
Nah.
Wasn't raised in Chicago.
No.
But he chose Chicago to be home, and Chicago responded by embracing him.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, the same thing goes with Lincoln. Lincoln and Jefferson Davis were literally born probably less than 100 miles apart from each other.
That is so cool.
It is. And so, you know, Lincoln goes, his family moves from Kentucky to Indiana. And so now Indiana claims Lincoln. And then in his adulthood, he moves from Indiana to Illinois, and Illinois embraces him. That, you know, I think that's something special. That's something special and unique about the upper Midwest. Because here, West Virginia, we've got a saying, and it can also be heard in many other southern states, Faith. You ain't from around here, are you?
Yeah. I got it here. I got it here when we moved here. You're not from around here, are you?
Well, the funny thing is, when I it's so granular in Appalachia that it goes all the way down to the county level.
Right.
Now, my portions of my family have been in this county since before the mid-1700s. Or the mid-1700s. And when I lived, let's see, two counties away, people would say to me, "You ain't from around here, are you?"
Seriously? Two counties away?
Two counties away. And I'd say, well, I mean...
What was different? Two counties away.
Because so it wasn't there. It's you know, it's like that when the Rona started, and they put out somebody put out that T-shirt that said West Virginia social distancing since 1863.
Right.
And the back of it said, "You stay in your holler and I'll stay in mine."
Right.
Well, that's you ain't from this holler, are you?
And yeah, they could totally tell we weren't from here, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean the strong upper Midwest accent does kind of give you away, Faith.
I always thought I didn't have one, but I guess I do.
But trust me, Faith, you do, and I mean that in a good way. You do.
Okay, thank
you.
That's
like all these years of working at speaking and broadcast standard. And people,
you would know.
Yeah, Bob. I just love your southern accent, Bob. God damn it, 50 years. And so I've just come to an uneasy peace with it.
Right.
Kind of like Bill Moyers, you know, he had that one wonderful, wonderful voice. But every now and then it was pretty easy to tell that feller was from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, people are so proud to be natives here. Like, they have native stickers on their tailpipes and stuff. Like, they're just like, yeah, I'm a native, you know? I'm just like, well, I've lived a lot of places.
Well, the one place, there are a couple of places it matters. And I would say those two places are probably California and Florida.
Right.
In fact, you'll see people driving around in Florida with a bumper sticker or a sign on the front of the car where it says Florida native.
Yeah, we get that here.
And out in California, of course, because those are places that everybody else wants to go to.
Right.
So that it's very rare to find somebody that's second generation. I mean, God, Sparky is probably fifth generation or more Californian. Tracy's people have been in California for 3-4 generations.
Right.
And then the rest of us is Ferners. That's Ferner, F-U-R-N-N-E-R, Ferner. You're one of them Ferners, ain't you?
Yeah, Ferner.
Yeah, I'm a Ferner from two counties over. That's what I said. But that little county was so weird, though, Faith, because they still had that, and people who, you know, aren't really, who don't live places that are touched by it, don't necessarily understand, but there were two funeral homes in that county. And if your family was on the Union side in the Civil War, you used one funeral home. I'm talking about 20 years ago.
Seriously?
And if your family was the Southern sympathizer in the Civil War, you used the other funeral home. I kid you not.
And so,
the southern part of the county tended to go for the north, and the northern part of the county sided with the south. Because, well, I mean, sometimes you just have to deal with the fact that, you know, backwards.
But that is crazy.
But it's, you know, it's an interesting place to live. And it's a beautiful place to live. You know, if we're ever able to do the Horn in, I think it's going to be something fantastic, because for as much as I criticize and make fun of, I love this place with an abiding passion. And I think everybody knows.
I see pictures too on your Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
So it is so beautiful.
Oh yeah. And by the way, thanks for the likes over on Instagram. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I don't have that many followers on Instagram, but, cause I don't post there that much, but. I do love to put up, you know, when I go down that little trail there, you go about, a mile down the trail, and it gets most of the way. It's like 200 feet or more down to the creek, but there's a couple of easy access points. And to go down there, I can't wait for next summer.
I can't. We really want to come to the Horn when you guys have it.
I just hope there's some way, because if we have it in like late October, it won't be any, because the water will be way too cold. But just to go down and hike down that trail and go and splash around in that, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I mean, and also just because we've all been so stressed out, and, you know, we just like Steve from New York, and a lot of what he's saying about like what he's going through with his family, I'm going through that with my family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you mentioned your brother-in-law.
I totally get it. And I just feel like if we could all get together at some point, that would be so, I just think, just therapeutic for one, you know.
Oh, I think we'd have a magnificent time. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, I do too. Because we all are music lovers too. We love music. We love the arts. We love theater.
And see, I mean, there's music, or, well, before the Rona, there was music in abundance around here. A lot of really talented musicians. Some of it tends to be country-ish and bluegrass, but hell, there's some fine rock and roll too. But the visual arts here, painters and sculptors, and there's always something on display hanging at the Grove. It's a wonderful little community. It really, really is. And
I just, that would be wonderful.
If we could get all of the wonderful progressive people together enough to send some progressive people to Charleston to represent us, and hopefully that'll happen this election. I don't know, but I hope. I'm just tired. I'm tired of my member of the House of Delegates being an anti-LGBTQQQIA bigot, you know, in the name of Jesus, of course.
I'm just tired of all of it. Like, can we just accept everyone for who they are? Like, I mean, I think that things are rough enough. Like, do we really need to be hateful toward people that aren't like us? This is where I don't get it. Andrew and I talk about this every day. Like, we're like, what the hell? Like, why are people like that? Like, why are they so hateful?
Because their lives are so petty and small and meaningless in their own right, Faith.
Right.
They live lives that are so consumed by insecurities and fears. Anger, I'm not a shrink and I don't play one on the radio. You know, hello, West Virginia, I'm listening. Most of the counselors and psychological professionals that I've known have told me that anger is almost always rooted in grief and sadness.
Right.
And so when you see these angry, screaming maggots and whatnot, they are...
They're hurting?
Yeah. And they've been hurt.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's kind of a cliche to say, you know, who hurt you? But... And that's what Obama was getting at the other day when he said, you know what, did no one come to your birthday party?
Right. And you're throwing a shit show, a sad show for it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, I had a note from Arnold in PA. Bob, you have an excellent broadcast voice. I know you're from the South, but you're an enlightened redneck. Come on. Yes. That's funny.
I would never guess you were, though. From your voice, I wouldn't.
Oh, my. Way, way, way back in the day, I did everything in my power to hide it, like when I was doing newscasts at CNN radio and stuff. But, there's a line from a Don Williams song called Good Old Boys Like Me where he says, learn to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. And that was exactly me.
You have the perfect radio voice.
Well, thank you. I had... had an excellent speech teachers in high school whose mission in life was to teach little redneck children not to say git, G-I-T.
Right, right.
Get. Over and over and over again. And no, it's not I. It's I. You have an I in your head, not an I.
It's G-E-T, okay?
Yeah, get. I mean, it still runs in a constant loop inside my head. It's
right.
Yeah. Get, and along the way, they made it sort of like a Tourette's tick for me. And
yeah, so every time you hear that, you're like, no.
Yeah, I get this. Yeah. I get this little nervous twitch in my cheek, and I'm like, Well, Faith, it has been a lovely conversation. I hope you'll be with us on the front porch tomorrow. Never be afraid to just barge in and chime in and be heard, because it's a free for all.
Interrupt. That is a pet peeve of mine. I really hate it.
Yeah, but that's the only way you get through.
I know. I found that out, and so you know what? I actually found it out on the back porch last time. Is that, you know what, if there's something more I want to say, I text it, and then they come back to me for
whatever works, you know?
That works better for me. I really don't like to interrupt. I really hate it.
Well, hopefully we'll get you past that, Faith.
Well, you probably will.
Well, tell Andrew we all said hey. And
he says hey as well.
We will we'll catch you on the morrow, I hope.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Happy coming election. It's the happy end of the election, but it's not even that. Just God, let's get to another day. Let's put it like that.
Yes, please. Let's end this freak show of a reality we're living in.
Here.
End it.
All right. Thank you, Faith, Bob. Have a good evening. Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
And that's Faith calling from Colorado. Lovely conversation. Well, thanks, Arnold. Arnold says, yeah, one of my favorite broadcast voices. You're describing the practice of non-regional dialect. Exactly. And you know, the funny thing is, you can take and this isn't regional bigotry or anything. It's just something I've observed over the years. You can take somebody from, you know, down here we say up north. I won't use the Y word. You can take somebody from up north, move them down south, and if they stay here 50 years, they will never stop sounding like what they sounded like up north. But if you take a southerner and move them up north, we will start modifying our speech, or we will at least try. And I don't know if that's social stigma or if it's just the chameleon nature of Southern dialect. I don't know. But my parents came from West Virginia to Alabama, never left Appalachia, okay, because that corner of Alabama is Appalachia too. And were told that they didn't sound like they were from around there for the entirety of the time that they lived out the rest of their lives. And, of course, I've told the story before about the neighbor lady who every time my parents would or my family would come up here, she'd say, "Now, y'all have a nice time in Virginia." And we eventually came to the conclusion that it was some sort of generationally passed, unacknowledged, unrecognized anger over this state having been carved out of the old Dominion of Virginia. Let's go back and check a couple more emails. Thank you to Yuki. For among other things, thank you, Yuki, for finishing off the challenge this evening. That's tremendous. Thank you. And more to come. That was amazing, Yuki. Thank you. There will be challenges through the week, thanks to Yuki. The core of who we are, Jude writes, at the deepest core of being, it remains my clearest expression for me to be a real reminder of what millions of individuals are engaging in at this very moment in our history. There's power and force at work. And today this came to mind. I felt power in Portland, July 25th, 2020, where 5,000 were present in collective mindset, all in a thunderous silence. As we stood across from the federal building, floodlights blazing in our direction. Silence. Then a series of weathered drums began with a methodical and solid rhythm. Reminded me of drums somewhere deep in the Amazon where a cleansing out what needs to be removed. But these drums were intentionally beckoning to the ICE, Border Patrol, and God only knows who else, secured behind that boarded-up United States federal building, again intentionally beckoning them out to face we the people, staggering to the senses to experience. Then comes the voice over the speaker asserting this was an unlawful gathering and we were to disperse. Still a collective silence. The voice is then heard again, looking to my left in vision field, a man walking directly towards me, reaching me. The voice demands to disperse again, as we are told it is an unlawful gathering. Still, a collective silence. You must leave. You're not prepared. As I turn to view my surroundings in his clear direction, the first round of tear gas is dispersed off to my right, with the wind blowing our direction, which then sent this gas instantly on its abusively harsh path. Could only manage about 10 steps before I was unable to inhale. And then that impossible cough, which seemed to be what I needed to do, but I couldn't breathe, found myself in urgency of focus. Bob, before I knew it, a group of young people, mid-30s, surrounded me, literally, saline for my eyes, water to facilitate hydration. Here's the piece that's important. A young man takes off his goggles, placing them over my eyes as the gas shrouded everyone. All this for a stranger. There are strong, generous, disciplined, healthy, good, and hardworking people, and grounded in this with all of us. So remember this. Thank you, Jude. What an amazing portrait you have painted. Ron and Raleigh, on the BBC this morning, I caught the end of a story. There was a Navy vet, and believe it or not, this vet was in tears, sniveling and sobbing about how Donnie Bag of Donuts had saved his life. There are several online ads featuring black men denying that Trump is a racist. Rapper Lil Wayne, Lil Pump have thrown their support behind Trump. It is estimated that black male support for Trump will double this election from 6 to 12%. The fuck is the matter with these Negroes? Well, I'm in no position to offer any kind of observation or diagnosis because, Ron, if you are dismayed by 12% of the black male population supporting Trump, imagine what it must be like to know that just about every white male you see around here is Trump through and through. And I don't mean no 12%. I mean 90 or 70 at least, 60. Like I said, if the overall vote total for Trump drops below 68% tomorrow, I will be surprised. But I will also be encouraged because it means some people woke the hell up. But by the time the statistical analysis is done and all the data has been drained of every last grain of meaning, I bet you we find out that white males kept on shooting themselves in the foot and voted for Trump. I mean, and the obligatory pieces by the multimillionaire for-profit media, a few of them have come wandering into West Virginia. And even West Virginia Public Radio had a bit last night where they talk, you know, on the one hand, they talked to a young woman who's been on this program, Brianna Wade. And she's very, very much a progressive young woman. But then they had some business owner from Beckley who was like, well, you know, things was just so bad back when Barack Obama was president. I actually had to think about laying people off. That poor, stupid sod. Didn't even realize that the economic hard times that came with the arrival of Barack Obama had absolutely not a damn thing to do with Barack Obama. But I don't pay much attention to politics. Yeah, unless the president happens to be, you know, tan suit, right? So I understand your angst, Ron, but, well, it could be worse. Let's just put it that way. Ah, says Lou, to speak the Queen's English as they did on the BBC in the olden days. I know. And Cynthia says, hey, Bob, I never thought about it, but you just made me realize I'm a California anchor baby. I was born in San Francisco, but my dad was from Denver and my mom from Alabama. How did that even happen, Cynthia? Wow. And adding a little bit ago, listening to you do your southern accents, I had a realization. I just saw Knives Out the other day and enjoyed Daniel Craig's character, but I realized they miscast it. You would have been perfect for the part. Well, thank you. And by the way, yes, I'm sitting on pins and needles. Stress eating and all that. Oh, gosh, Trump needs the big boot, and I'll be listening in. Well, we'll be here. We'll be here. Stress eating? Yeah, I discovered something called lemon meringue pie ice cream the other day. It's really not terrible. But then again, that's another thing that's come with 7 weeks of not smoking. I am eating the world. I may just turn into the man from Mars from Blondie's Rapture, you know. Now he doesn't eat guitars. He only eats whatever it is, cars, guitars, whatever rhymed. They might turn out tasty at some point. Interesting, says Darlene in Connecticut. There are a husband and wife, Democrats, albeit more conservative acquaintances of mine in my town, that have a slight drawl noticeably at the end of their sentences. I thought they might be from your neck of the woods in West Virginia, but the husband told me they were from North Carolina. They've been here over 20 years. Well, and they've hung on to some of it. And if it's Western North Carolina, that can be, that's similar to what we got, because that's the Appalachian accent. Like where I grew up in Alabama, that accent is closer to what we have here than, say, the Southern accent of, like, down Montgomery way. Because it gets real gooey down there. Darlene says, just donated again to the Biden-Harris campaign. Fingers crossed. Fingers, toes, whatever's handy. Yeah, indeed. So, hard to believe it, but, well, by the time I'm on air, we're on air together tomorrow, we'll be talking about what time polls close and what all has gone horribly wrong. And because I am Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine, let's end with this. Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Ahavas Israel Cemetery. It's a Jewish cemetery where some maggots took spray paint and painted Trump one letter at a time on headstones in that Jewish cemetery. I'd dare to wager that there are more than a couple of Holocaust survivors buried in that cemetery. But the Anti-Defamation League broke the news and said, we are appalled by the reported desecration of gravestones at the Ahavas Israel Cemetery in Grand Rapids. We're in close touch with the Jewish community and law enforcement to investigate this vandalism. And they went all over the cemetery with red spray paint. As I have said so many times before, the question, the issue at hand, is really a simple one. We will make a choice. We can have decency. We can have a return to decency. Or we can have Donald Trump and all of his filthy spawn. But we cannot have both. Decency and Donald Trump cannot exist in the same physical universe. He has proven it all his life. And a wonderful example of how the horn mind works. I'm not sure. It's got to be 1,000 miles between Jeremy in Vermont and James in Illinois. Jeremy wrote moments ago, the first town in the country, a little town in New Hampshire, will vote in about 4 hours. Dixville Notch. Yes, indeed. And James in Illinois says, take heart. I have a cousin politically stunted, only can think of politics in terms of what's in it for him. But here's the thing, he never votes. Worried the government will track him and make him do jury duty. A lot of the guys you're meeting there are the same way. They'll bitch about politics, but they aren't voting. Well, he didn't early vote, that's for sure, based on the numbers I heard earlier this evening. I was mistaken there. I thought James had sent me a note about Dixville Notch, too. Nonetheless, jury duty. I guess he doesn't realize they don't draw that from voters' registrations. They draw that from driver's licenses. Yeah, oh, well, you'll have that. And so here we are at the end of this Moran Monday. Thanks so much to all of you who answered Bruce's memorial challenge. Thank you, Yuki, for making the challenges for the coming week. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going with your Patreon subscriptions, your PayPal subscriptions, your a la carte contributions, and combinations of all three in some cases. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, brand new Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The best place to listen to Malloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. If we can get by, if we can get Joe Biden in, we might just turn a corner and start moving toward getting rid of this pandonic, this dondemic. But until then, staying home is the best way to stay safe. If you have to be out and about, wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry some hand sanitizer at all times. Maintain your social distance, take Paul from Parts Unknown's advice seriously and to heart. Make your social distance 10 feet, 20 feet. Stay as far away as you can. And if you see somebody coming towards you, say, they wanted me to wear a mask to go vote, and I told them it was just like Jim Crow. Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.